SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are now listening to the best 2 hours in sports radio.
How are the two best hosts on Grid Radio?
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
Mustache, glasses, and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what? I just keep moving.
But now, but here.
Kevin Walsh.
No, it's not a bad take. You're in outer space right now.
And the dream team of callers.
Right. I hope you guys checked the tape right. That was the 5-0 Vegas. Vegas.
Bring it.
Astros, Rangers, Astros over.
Smoke.
Check
all
the
smoke.
Tape.
Yep. Easy, too. It's easy. It feels good.
It was, wasn't it? Man.
And listen to you guys also with all that great information you gave out on players' props. So it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I just honestly became a huge Sports Grid fan and over the last year, and I found you in K-Dub's show, man, and I have been addicted.
And let me give a shout-out to my man, JP, holding it down behind the scenes.
There it is.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
And away we go on a Monday afternoon. New week, new money right here on the Sports Grid Network. This is Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside. Solo mission here. And we do have I got word that Kevin actually is still around. He's still on the grid and had this message for everybody.
Hey guys, Kevin Walsh here. I won't be here once again on Monday or Tuesday, but I'll be back on the grid on Wednesday. Hope you guys miss me.
Thanks, Kev, though. We do miss you. We miss him a lot. We do. But he'll be back Wednesday, but it's another solo mission today to have a lot of fun with him. Boy, oh boy, did it go down over the weekend. In the NFL, a lot of good stuff to talk about. A lot of rookies played. Some surprising scores here. Teams that we're looking forward to. Also, not going to give it away just yet, on the FanDuel Sportsbook each and every year. Last year, I got a $200 wager to place, which was 10 wins or more, I should say 10 wins, you get $20 for each win. That was last year. This year, I only got $100 from this FanDuel Sportsbook, but I'm going to tell you which team I actually bet for my Super Bowl wager, which again, keep in mind, you want that nice ticket, but also you want a team that you know is going to win 10 games to get you your bonus money back. So each and every week, every win they stack up to 10, you get $10 back in bonus money. Keep on loading that down on some futures. Boom, 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 boom. And that's a lot of fun, but I do have that picked out. But I'm excited for the NFL. I really am. I'm also excited for what's going to happen in Major League Baseball tonight because I got a little rejuvenated, I got to say, people, over the weekend. You know, betting some RBI props, but also putting in some team totals finally here. And everything is through Twitter, at RightsideVP right now. Site's fired up. Everybody's ready to go. The X is out there, right? Come on, Twitter or the X? What are we calling this anyway? But if you want to get through to me today, it's easy. It's always the same thing. Hashtag SG Moneyline on Twitter. And also, if you're looking to reach out on the phone lines, it's 844-843-6879. Tell me what you saw over the weekend. Who are you betting to win the Super Bowl this year? And why? And more importantly, what type of action you got tonight? And as I said, being rejuvenated over the weekend. Last night, I even hit a team total on the Pittsburgh Pirates in game number two of their doubleheader, which was 4.5. Didn't put that out, but I was just like, you know what? Let me continue to ride these good vibes. I hit a few double down RBI shots, which means two RBI or more. A few of those came in yesterday, 7-1s, 9-1s, plus 450s. Fantastic day overall. So I am really looking forward to today to hit the Major League Baseball slate hard. Now, granted, I do have the pitchers picked out today. It's not a huge card, so therefore, as we line it up, it's like, oh, who can we actually pick on? There are a few pitchers that I do want to get down on, particularly two of those. One is an Oakland pitcher, and one is a Pittsburgh Pirate, so just give you a little bit of thought process behind them. But I am looking to, once again, bet team totals on the same games that I really like RBI props, fading bad pitchers. And it worked out. Yesterday on Sunday, it was 3-1 with those. And also, as I said again, betting across the board RBI props at like a quarter unit, but also doubling down with two RBI props or more with another quarter unit out there, which worked out really well. I mean, I'm talking, when you hit 7-1s and 9-1s, that fills up the bank account quickly. So I did feel really nice about that. I'm looking to play it and parlay it once again into today and see if we can come up with that same magic that we had. And I think we can. I really do. So I think those vibes are really good in the room. What is it, 8 or 9? I think it's 9 games today on the Major League Baseball card. Nothing in the afternoon, which is typical for a Monday here. But as I said, we're going to treat this show as almost like the ultimate recap of the weekend and then dive into some Super Bowl talk, and also, more importantly, what's going on in the Major League Baseball card today and the futures in Major League Baseball. I'll tell you right now, sometimes you get excited, and you want to put out lottery ticket type plays, which I did on the Padres to win the World Series. And it wasn't so much as the Padres I thought could win the World Series. You say, well, Don, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you take them to win the World Series? Well, pretty simple to me. I thought they could make the playoffs, which means I could turn a card, or a bet, I should say, into a profit here. They stink. And they get me even more angry day to day at this point right now. Can't get out of their own way. And who do they have this week? Or these first next three games? The Baltimore Orioles are in town to take on the Padres. So good luck overall with that, right? So we're just trying to survive out here with the Padres, as I believe when I took them, it was like three games back. I think like 5.5 out of the wild card now. It's ridiculous. It just is. And by the way, football gets started this week quickly here. Why? The Philadelphia Eagles are going to practice against the Cleveland Browns and also play them in a preseason game that takes place on Thursday night. So a little bit of food for fodder in that one here. But there are, let me see. I took a team that's under 20-1 to win the Super Bowl. And if you know me, just a little teaser, I've been fired up about this squad for quite some time now. And after the break, I'll let you know who that squad is going to be. Also, I do have a same-game parlay in today for the FanDuel Sportsbook. Straight off the show in the morning, the early line if you watched. Boy, we got some good hot topics to get to. Don't you guys go anywhere. Give me a phone call, 844-843-6879. Hit me up on Twitter. Sonny Rightside, Radio on the Grid. I'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cut the music!
Let's party, baby. Let's party! Here on a Monday afternoon of Moneyline. Donnie Wrightside here, solo mission. Get involved with the show, 844-843-6879. Also on Twitter, hashtag SGMoneyline. The phone line's blazing already to start the week. New week, new money on the network. And that's why the Moose is calling in here, ready to rock and roll. Week number two of the preseason, baseball in full effect. Talk to me, Moose.
I tell you what, it sounds like old Kate's a better... Tighten
up,
those tighty whiteys are a little tight on them, you know?
That's
so,
a good point.
Come on, Kate, up, get out of them Walmart pajamas, buddy. You know?
Yeah, tremendous.
Hey, I'm riding team totals.
Yes,
Atlanta's been good to me this weekend, so surprisingly, Pittsburgh has been good. But I'm going to take a parlay tonight, so I'm going to take San Fran and Baltimore. So... And then I'll probably sprinkle a little bit on Atlanta and the run line. So that's my deal. So I was planning on taking a trip out to Vegas to go out on the Strip until I read the recent newspaper article. And apparently the Strip's got an outbreak of bed bugs. So I think I'm going to head east and maybe go to the Boulevard in Mississippi.
Head south.
I guess seven or eight resorts. So, I don't know, but it's all good. there he is. Come on, K-Dub, get out of them tidy whiteys. We'll talk to you guys. Love you. Bye.
There you go. Moose checking in here on a Monday. Yeah, no big bed bugs, man. Come on now. You can bring bed bugs back to your house, right? Go to a nice resort, 5-star, 4-star, whatever it is, Vegas resort right on the Strip. Bring some bed bugs home all itchy. Oof. Man, not for me at that point here. But we do have some good times in the NFL. As I teased before the break, the team I placed my FanDuel wager on this year, the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens, people. I mean, come on now. To win the Super Bowl? It'd be tough. There's a lot of good teams out there in the AFC, particularly the Kansas City Chiefs. And once you get to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to beat maybe the 49ers, the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, you're going to be battling. And by the way, the AFC North, could we say that that's the toughest division in football? I think I can honestly say that. The NFC East is pretty good, though. Three playoff teams last year, Eagles, Cowboys, Giants. But if I'm just looking at toe-to-toe talent in the NFL, and you said, Donnie, you can only pick one division, which one would you go with? It would be the AFC North for me. Cincinnati Bengals plus 150. Baltimore Ravens plus 210. Cleveland Browns 4-1. Pittsburgh Steelers plus 470. And by the way, if you're sleeping on the Pittsburgh Steelers, be careful, because that team's talented. Let's talk a little bit about the AFC North here and why I did go with the Baltimore Ravens. Number one, when you take a look at the bet that we have, you want to pick a team. And again, if quarterbacks and key players get injured, nothing matters. It's like picking the Kansas City Chiefs. Hey, I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. If Mahomes ends his season in week five, they're not winning the Super Bowl. We get that, right? So we want to take that out of the equation, even though there are some teams that tend to be and some players a little bit more injured than others. Banged up, no doubt about it. Lamar Jackson the past couple years. He's an athletic quarterback that gets outside the pocket, makes a lot of plays with his legs. It's a little bit more susceptible to injury than maybe some quarterbacks that would just sit there in the pocket like a Joe Burrow, even though Joe Burrow tends to get injured as well. But if we are looking objectively at the Ravens, and I say to myself, Lamar Jackson is going to be healthy for the entirety of the season, I like what I have there. Because the goal, once again, is you're looking for this, and it was a one-unit wager. Last year it was 200. I wish it was 200. I wish it was even higher, because it's a really good bet. But the caveat here is that every win that you get in the regular season, they give you $10 back, a maximum of 100. So theoretically, the goal is to pick a team that you know is going to get 10 wins. Or at least you can factor in, saying, you know what, if everything goes right with injuries, right, and just average play, they should get the 10. And 10's not a huge bell mark. It's not like, hey, man, you got to go 13-4. Like, no, you got to go 10-7. If you have a legitimate quarterback who has won an MVP before in a revamped offense like the Ravens, you expect them to win 10 games, but that division is really tough. And I do think the Baltimore Ravens are going to win the AFC North. I really do. I think I have a little bit too many question marks here on the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow going to get his money? It looks like Joe Burrow is going to be healthy to start the season from all indications with that calf injury. Ja'Marr Chase, ultra unbelievable weapon on the outside. T. Higgins wants a new deal, didn't get his. Mixon came back on a pay cut. You lost some players to your defense, to free agency, which is the way of the NFL. It's the way it is. But I honestly look at this overall and say to myself, if the Ravens can put it all together, dominant tight end, very good offensive line, running game should be there. J.K. Dobbins, by the way, just got activated today from the PUP list. He'll be back to practice. I like what I see. The defense, athletic front seven, decent secondary. But the goal for me in this bet is, once again, get 10 wins, which I think they'll have. Legitimate chance to win the division, which I think they do. Win me one playoff game. And that 18-1 ticket then becomes profitable if you want to start hedging. Do you see the way I'm going there? That's the way I'm looking at it. Do I think they're the best overall team in the NFL? No, not necessarily, right? Because if you're taking a look at that Super Bowl market overall, Chiefs 6-1, Eagles 8-1, Buffalo Bills 10-1, Bengals 10-1, 49ers 10-1, the Dallas Cowboys 13-1, then come the Ravens and the Jets at both 18-1. Now, there is a lot of tough teams in the AFC. We're expecting, like, Jacksonville's 28-1. They're probably going to win the division. So if you looked at Jacksonville and said you wanted to take that flyer, I wouldn't be mad at you. Because the goal is to get 10 wins, which I think Jacksonville could have, or get into the playoffs and win a game and then take a look at your hedging opportunities moving forward. They can't really do that if you're the Chiefs at 6-1 or the Eagles at 8-1, the Bills at 10-1. But once you start getting around that 20-1 range, the goal is to turn that ticket into profitability. But if we just roll back and take a look at the divisions themselves again, the Bengals, really talented football team. One of the premier quarterbacks in the game, Joe Burrow. Joe Cool, man. Weapons all over the place. He's healthy. They're healthy. They're going to move the football. The Baltimore Ravens, as we said, you're taking a little bit of a flyer. But every time we've seen Lamar Jackson play football, they're hell on wheels, the Ravens. They're in every single game. Maybe he hasn't reached the pinnacle just yet and multiple playoff wins in a single season to get them to the Super Bowl. I get that. But I think if he's healthy and now he's happy and paid, new offensive coordinator, multiple weapons now, wide receiver to go along with Mark Andrews, And you know that running game's going to be cranked up. That's what I get excited about. The Cleveland Browns, if Deshaun Watson can return back to form that we saw back in Houston, they could do some damage. Decent wide receiver core. My favorite running back in the NFL, Nick Chubb. Athletic defensive ends to get after the quarterback. Now, as I said earlier, too, don't sleep on this team I'm about to talk about. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They went 9-8 last year. Didn't see that coming. Probably thought they would be under 500 last year. Injuries, pieces weren't fitting together. Young quarterback, you're breaking them in. The offensive line is decent. You're going to struggle maybe at the tackle position, which always is going to hurt because that's where football teams come after. You got to protect your quarterback. But if they do, Kenny Pickett showed signs, man, last year. He could be a good NFL quarterback. Najee Harris in the backfield. Pat Freiermuth at tight end. Pickens, Robinson, and Johnson on the outside. And then you look at the defense. You draft Joey Porter Jr. You bring over a veteran in Peterson. You have Minkah Fitzpatrick back there. You have elite pass rushers in Highsmith and Watt on the outside. And some big boys like Cam Hayward in the middle. Don't you go sleeping on those Pittsburgh Steelers. But that AFC North, for me, I think it's running through the Charm City, baby. I really do. What say you? Who's running your team this year? Which one are you going with? Let me know. 844-843-6879. It's Moneyline on a Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yo, right after it here. Come on now. Hour number one, Moneyline, Donnie Wrightside, Sirius XM, Channel 159, Sports Grid Network.
Let me talk to you.
Yeah, let me talk to the good people out here through Twitter, hashtag SG Moneyline, which I do see Mammoth Hops punching through again. Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Shohei Ohtani, over a half run. Yes, you guessed it. Over 5.5 Atlanta Braves team total. Yeah, you guessed it. And also rolling through here, a little Mariners money line and San Francisco Giants money line. That's how you do it. Mammoth Hops getting through. Hashtag SG money line. But let's get to the phone lines here. 844-843-6879. Chris from Austin, rocking and rolling on a Monday here, talking to DRS. What's up?
DRS, good afternoon, man.
Hello.
Good weekend. Hope yours was well. Hello, DRS.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
It was good.
Yeah.
I got you, brother.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man. Good weekend. Your Yankees blew up a freaking $750 parlay that I had parlayed with the Indians, with the Cleveland Indians at plus 170, the Raiders who were plus 160, and the Saints on the money line.
Yeah. Tough one there, Chris. Yeah.
So when I was listening to you and Joe this morning, I felt his pain so much, man. But other than that, it was an interesting weekend. Like I was telling JP, right? Like there's two teams and a couple of players that I saw that really kind of impressed me that no one's really talking about. One was Stetson Bennett, and the other was DJ Moore in Chicago. Those teams, you know, we were talking about New England, like didn't have anything that was like, oh. Okay, that's some speed, that's some elusiveness, that's some jiggle, you know. Stetson Bennett, you know, he's played in all the big games at Georgia. The kid obviously has the confidence, the moxie. We just think he's a little small, maybe a little challenged with his arm strength. I like what I saw in the kid. DJ Moore looks like he's going to give Fields and that team some wow and some do they have speed that, you know, I don't think they've really had since that boy's been there. So we'll see. The Bears look interesting. And the Saints and Derek Carr looks focused. I think I'm going to place a wager on the Saints to win that division in the South. Man.
Yes.
I just kind of impressed with that. And, you know, when you got a motivated player that wants to prove something, that's always a good one to go on, DRS. And, hey, man,
absolutely.
So tonight, let's look at this, okay? So I'm going to take the Rangers, the Mariners, and the Astros. A $58 parlay pays $217. I'm going to try that. And then I'm going to bet them all separately. I'm going to bet them all straight. And then I
like
got the over 8.5. I got the over 8.5 in St. Louis. I was listening to you and Joe this morning on the early line. And so that line, I got it at 8.5. It's at 9 now. It's at 9 now. So we'll take those three money line plays. We'll take the under in Texas as well with Scherzer and Sandoval. And we'll take the under in Kansas City, 9. See, I got 9 on both of those. Under 9 in Kansas City and under 9 in Arlington with the Rangers. But I think with Sandoval, he's solid. Scherzer has been good, you know, and Singer's always good in Kansas
City. I agree.
Whenever you see Kansas at home, you might want to take a look at him. So, but that's where I'm at, man. It was good to see football, and, you know, we have that month and a half, man, where there's nothing but baseball. So at least we got a little football. And your boy James Harden, I hope y'all run him out of Philly, man. What a freaking joke. What is he
doing? Oh, man.
He's lucky Maury paid him. He's lucky Maury. Yeah. Nobody else was going to pay you $36 million, bro. But anyway, thanks for taking my call, man. I love you and the show. You guys take it easy.
There it is, man.
Come to work, Playboy.
There he is. He's back. He's coming back soon. It's almost time. Well, Chris bringing up some good topics here, including James Harden. We'll get to in just a few moments there. But his point being, football is back. Oh, it feels so good. And I'm the ultimate hater. Your boy Donnie is the ultimate hater in many aspects. And one of those teams I've hated, or one of those things I've hated, is preseason football. Really? Now all of a sudden I find myself like, you know what I mean? Like the clouds are parting. I was like, oh, okay. You can enjoy football here. You really can. Absolutely. And by the way, to Chris's point also, Brady Singer, 3.72 XFIP over the past six weeks. Not bad. 4-1 win loss record. 45 2/3 innings. Maybe we're on to something there. A little upset of Seattle? My goodness. But I don't know if they can. Here's the thing about it. If you're looking at under in Kansas City, and rightfully so, Gilbert's actually my number two pitcher on the card today. 5-0 in his 7 starts. 45 1/3 innings. 3.52 XFIP. That's pretty impressive. So that's something to keep an eye on. But back to the NFL here quickly. What happened over the weekend? A lot of young quarterbacks were able to play. Take everything with a grain of salt. I don't care if they were drafted 1, 2, and 5, which I believe is what it was. Anthony Richardson, I think, maybe the 5th overall. Will Levis even got into a game, 2nd-round draft pick. A lot of young guys like, let Stetson Bennett throw the ball 29 times. Now, granted, he's like 36-year-old rookie, so he should be ready to go. 191 yards and a touchdown. But I tell you right now, the two wagers I actually liked last week both lost. Now, I was surprised because I was in position basically to win both of them. It was a total over with Cleveland and Washington. And I told you, the one guy that you have to watch out for here in the preseason is Dorian Thompson-Robinson. 9 of 10, 102 yards passing, and a touchdown, 142.5 passer rating. Now, they had some chances early on to sort of separate themselves. They weren't able to do it, but they came up a little bit short there. Another one was the Philadelphia Eagles. I told you last week, I didn't care that that line went from -6 to -4.5 with the Eagles and the Ravens. I thought the Ravens would win the game. They did. But I'm watching that game as an Eagles fan. And again, preseason doesn't matter. You just hope none of your key players get injured. Sean Bradley went down with a Achilles injury. He'll be out for the season, but a marginal player. So if you're going to lose players, those are the type of guys that you would lose. But I was 7 minutes ago, 20-13. Ravens have the football. So what are you hoping for? Athletic quarterback, pick up a couple first downs, punt the football, 3 minutes to go, 4th-string quarterback's got to go the length of the field and score a touchdown to beat you. No more field goals at that point. Baltimore threw an interception, pick 6. The Eagles went for 2, and rightfully so. Most teams are going to go for 2 in that spot. Not because they technically want to win the game, but if they get it, you're up 1. If they don't, you're down 1. You go, oh, boo, you should have just tied it. Like, no, nobody wants to go to overtime in the preseason. So the Eagles make the right decision there. But the game was lost, as I said. You're sitting there, I don't care if you had -6, -4.5, 20-13. There's no more field goals that are going to be kicked in that game from an Eagles perspective. But they threw a pick 6, the Ravens, and almost got caught. But that's 24 straight wins in the preseason for the Baltimore Ravens. They go for 25 in a row this week against the Washington Commanders. That's incredible. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But getting back to some of the young quarterbacks here. Bryce Young, 4 of 6, 21 yards, was in very limited there. Blocking, not very good against that Jets elite front four, which had starters in for a little bit. C.J. Stroud, we saw him last Thursday night open up, 2 of 4, 13 yards with a horrendous interception. And then there was Anthony Richardson, 7 of 12, 67 yards, but did throw an interception, a 39 passer rating. Will Levis got some time, but you know what's coming out there of Tennessee? It's not the talk of Will Levis. It's the talk of Will Levis not being number two on the depth chart after being the second round draft pick for them. Malik Willis, it turns out, is actually turning some heads in camp. So something to watch out for. Maybe they do have a little bit of a quarterback battle on their hand outside of Ryan Tannehill, right? Maybe they do have their future quarterback on that roster. Maybe most of us were giving up a lot earlier on Malik Willis. If you remember last year, Malik Willis is on the team all year long. They bring in, I think it was, Josh Dobbs in a key game against, I think it was Jacksonville, if I remember correctly. I'm like, yeah, this guy knows the playbook for about 24 hours. Yeah, he's going to start because Malik Willis can't play. So everybody was basically writing him off at that point, and how could you not? The organization was telling us to write the guy off at that point. Sean Clifford, 20 of 26 for 208 yards. Tanner McKee, who was there with the Eagles, Philadelphia, 10 of 20, 148 yards and a passer rating of 74.6. Aiden O'Connell, 15 of 18, 141 and one touchdown. So there were some impressive efforts by some of the young guys, but particularly the younger guys that were drafted later. Because you're looking in the way they were drafted here, right? Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, okay. But also one of those performances out in San Francisco, Trey Lance. Numbers look decent on the outside, but if you watch the game, he threw one of the worst touchdown passes. Actually, one of the worst slash best touchdown passes you'll see. Throws in the double coverage, easy interception, tipped around, knocked around, touchdown by San Francisco. If you're just looking at the box score, you're going like, oh man, he had a good night. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. And he took 4 sacks in that game, which you can't do. So we'll see where that goes. Is it Sam Darnold as the backup? It looks like it probably is. Trey Lance probably done in San Francisco, more than less. But it was enjoyable over the weekend to watch this. I don't know what it is. Is it because there's so many young quarterbacks that we want to watch get some burn out here? Is that what it is? How about the Falcons 19-3 over the Dolphins? You know who didn't even play in that game? Bijan Robinson. And rightfully so. What are you using Bijan up in the regular season? How many touches, by the way, is that guy going to end up getting? My goodness. Ridiculous amount we're probably looking for here. And by the way, when you do look at the Bears won 23-17 over the Titans in their preseason game. I don't look at Justin Fields' numbers all that much and say, oh, man, he lit it up, because there weren't really very many air yards, which means he wasn't dropping back dotting 45-yard balls down the field. But I like that even better, which it means they got playmakers. The Chicago Bears have playmakers? Looks like that might be the case in 2023. Some Justin Fields numbers might make some sense. Rushing for him and also passing. You know those numbers are low. We've got a long way to go here. Make sure you stick it right here on the grid. SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here, hour number one. Interesting topics coming across here. What I didn't actually expect. We're going to get to James Harden in just a few moments here. There's an interesting clip from James Harden stating basically he's not too happy with the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll play that hopefully in a few minutes here. But let's talk about this one. ESPN tweeted this one out. Now, growing up, look, I love football. I love football movies. There's a lot of them out there that you just sit down yourself and say, all right, you know, is this going to be an enjoyable afternoon? All the right moves. Tom Cruise, fantastic, man. Fantastic. Like, I am a buff for high school football. I love it. You want to throw me a steel town in Pennsylvania called Ampipe going up against, what, Walnut Heights? Come on, man. You got to beat Walnut Heights. Stefan Djordjevic has a game of his life. Pick six. The problem is, instead of just taking a knee and letting the game go out, they let the rifleman take a snap. They handed it off to Salvucci. Savucci dropped the football, and Pipe lost, and the whole town spiraled out of control, including Tom Cruise, who basically left high school for all intents and purposes after that. But it all turned out good. He went to Cal Poly. No spoiler. There's no spoiler in a movie that was made in like 1983, people. So stop. Like, oh, I never saw it before. You just ruined it for me. Stop. It's 1983. But when we're talking about football movies here, one of my favorites, Friday Night Lights. Love the book. Love the movie. Billy Bob Thornton, right? Even like the TV show. But how about The Blind Side? Everybody liked The Blind Side, right? I mean, come on. But how about this tweet? Former NFL player Michael Orr, subject of The Blind Side, petitioned a court Monday with allegations that Sean and Lee Ann Tui never adopted him, instead tricking him into signing a document making them his conservators and enriching themselves. Now, also it says on this, according to the legal filing, the movie paid the Tuis and their two birth children each $225,000, plus 2.5% of the film's defined net proceeds. The film became a critically acclaimed blockbuster, grossing more than $300 million at the box office, and tens of millions of dollars more in home video sales. The film received an Oscar nomination for Best Picture, and Sandra Bullock won a Best Actress trophy for her portrayal of Lee Ann Tui. While the deal allowed the Tuis to profit from the film, the petition alleges, a separate 2007 contract purportedly signed by Orr appeared to give away to 20th Century Fox Studios the life rights to his story, quote, without any payment whatsoever. Didn't expect that one coming through. I thought it was an all good around, good vibe story. Apparently not, because you know what happens at that point? People get bent out of shape over money here. And by the way, that's a sweetheart deal. First of all, how many of these movies do we see go big or go boom, right? Most of them just bust out. Like, oh, come on, man. Who's going to watch a movie with Sandra Bullock and just a guy playing football? Well, it turns out a lot of people wanted to watch that there. Which, by the way, when we were at the Super Bowl in Los Angeles, we interviewed Ed Orgeron, who was actually in that movie. How about that? As one of the recruiters at that time. Interesting stuff all the way around. But my goodness, didn't see that one coming. But how about this one? Maybe we saw this coming. And before I get into the story, let's just play a cut here from James Harden. JP, let it rip.
Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization that he's part of. Let me say that again. Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization that he's a part of. Thank you, man.
There you go. Cheers at the end. James Harden on a shoe tour, I think, with Adidas. Basically saying he can't stand Daryl Morey and he is a liar. That's interesting. Now, beat writer here in Philadelphia with NBC, John Clark, he tweeted out, and this was earlier this morning, I'm told the Sixers never had an agreement, made an offer, or exchanged proposals with James Harden and his reps heading into this year's free agency. Because as you read it from James Harden, now, sometimes one side is lying. Sometimes both sides are lying. The reason why I'm bringing that up is simple. On the outside, you look at this, right? Then you say to yourself, okay, what actually makes some sense here? Because if I'm reading the tea leaves from last year, I think it was James Harden was disappointing. Not this past year, the year before, before he came back for another year with the Sixers. I got the notion that it's like, hey, look, we just can't pay you all this money here, right? We got to see something better. So James Harden's like, okay, I can probably get some money on the open market, but I like Daryl Morey. You know, you brought me in here. I like Joel Embiid, and this team we might be able to do something with. I'm going to take less to come back so you can sign players like P.J. Tucker, right? I'll sacrifice this year. But now as we take a look at it here, was that really the case? Where Daryl Morey is like, you sacrifice this year, I'm going to take care of you on the back end, right? Because that's the way it felt like why James Harden is unhappy, right or wrong. But you would have thought that there was that handshake agreement behind closed doors. We'll take care of you. Help us out this year. We'll have plenty of money in the future. Let's play well. Let's win some games. And we'll take care in the future. Because otherwise, why would, I mean, honestly, why would James Harden, number one? Now, let's also take a look at the situation. James Harden could have been a free agent this year. He had a player option that if he activated it, would be $36 million with the Philadelphia 76ers. But if he thought he was worth more money on the open market, he could rip up that contract and immediately be a free agent. He chose to re-up with the Philadelphia 76ers, and the minute he did that, great, now trade me. Does that make any sense to anybody out there? You are so unhappy with the Sixers organization, and let's just say they lied and said, you know what, we'll take care of you next year. And then they realized, you know what, if we just let this thing play out, we have two maxes coming up in the near future, and we could sign two younger players other than James Harden, who knows how many years he has to go in an elite level. James Harden could have been so upset. You know what? I can get $200 million out of five different teams. Forget you, Philadelphia 76ers. I am leaving. But he didn't do that. You know why he didn't do that? Because there was no market for James Harden. So he has every right to opt into his contract. But I do think it's hilarious that he opts into the contract, which is with the Philadelphia 76ers, for one more season, and then says, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. I only opted in to get paid, but now I want to play for a new team. So I'm sure the Sixers at first go, well, James, you know, you opted in, so we have you under control. But you know what? Let's make this work for both sides. Let's go out here and let's see what can happen. Let's see on the open market what you're actually worth. And James, if you are worth something on this open market, we'll happily move you. If we're getting a nice package back from the, let's just say the Los Angeles Clippers, right? That's where you wanted to go. Okay, straight up, you for Paul George. And so I'm like, okay, you know what? That makes some sense. But if you are going to get absolute slop back for James Harden, what's the point of the Sixers even moving him at this point? Because for me, with the Philadelphia 76ers and James Harden, to be honest, it just feels like nothing is going to be good for the Sixers anyway this year. I agree with the Sixers at this point now, not giving him a four-year, $200 million deal, because they will have a few max slots come available next summer. But the question is Joel Embiid still going to be in his physical prime at that point? And are you playing Joel Embiid like an MVP this year with nowhere to go? I don't know. I would hope not. I would hope he would be on like a minutes restriction, knowing that the future of the Philadelphia 76ers depends on him and also the two max contracts that you put yourselves together on. But James Harden, I understand why he's mad. But you lose all of your talking points and your arguments when you opt in and then say, now I want to be moved. Sixers have every right, and they did the same thing with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, never going to play for the Sixers again. Sixers go, that's cool, sit over there. If a deal happens that makes sense for us, you will be moved. But if it doesn't, we're not even going to pay you. So just go sit in the corner, see you when we see you. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out here for James Harden. Now, he's saying he's never going to play for that organization. Again, we've seen things get, you know, worst over. And also, if James Harden is so incensed, he opted into the contract. If he doesn't show up, he doesn't get paid. Do you see where I'm going with that? He doesn't get paid. So he might as well just opt it out and sign like a vet, you know, max, minimum, whatever those are, right? 1 year, $7 million deal with somebody because he was so upset. Do you actually think James Harden's going to sit the entire season out and forego $36 million to prove his point? Sixers probably be happy. Like, you know what? We saved a lot of money here. We're going to be paying into probably the luxury tax over the next 2 years because we'll have a lot of max players under contract. And that will be just the way it is. And then probably, you know, at that point, a re-up for Joel Embiid, which is going to be massive. But that's what I get a kick out of here. Sometimes you want your cake and eat it too. I get that. But also, for James Harden, let's just say Daryl Morey lied. I'll eat $36 million just to prove my point. What? And also, He plays in that Philadelphia 76ers system where he can do whatever he wants. 20 points, 10 assists every single night. I want to go to L.A. Okay. He wanted out of OKC. Found his way on the Houston Rockets. He wanted out of Houston. He found his way on the Brooklyn Nets. He wanted out of the Brooklyn Nets. He found his way on the Philadelphia 76ers. Now he wants out of the Philadelphia 76ers, and there's probably not too many teams out there that are clamoring for his services. Excuse me. Because even though, to be honest, a relative on the contract level, like you're seeing just, you know, real, I mean, again, good players, $50, $60 million a year? Get out of here. Is James Harden at $36 million going to probably be a 20 and 10 guy next year, an absolute steal? Doesn't sound that way, right, when you say it. It's like, no. He's stealing money at $36 million. Which, again, you might be right. Because the simple fact of the matter is, he's owed a lot of money this single year. But after this year, he's off the books for anybody who takes him on. It's not as if you're taking James Harden on and saying, okay, $36 million a year for the next 5 years. Oh, boy, what is he going to be? Like, no. You're going to get him this year. And also the best part about it is, if you do get James Harden for another organization, or even the Philadelphia 76ers, he can't sign an extension anywhere. You know what that means? Like, he can't be like, well, I hate it here with Philadelphia. They won't give me an extension. I got to get out of this extension. Or excuse me, got to get out of here to get the extension I want. He can't. No matter where he goes this year, he is ineligible to negotiate a new contract until the end of the season. So riddle me this for James Harden. Let's just say you are going to stick by exactly what you said. I'm never going to play for the Sixers again. And the Philadelphia 76ers go, that's fine. We're not trading you either. He won't get paid this year, and he thinks he's going to get a mega deal next year? Yeah, good luck with that, James. That's our NBA talk here for hour number one. Let's find out where JP might be going in Major League Baseball. And also, in hour number two, I'm getting after this baseball card. Let's have some fun. It's Moneyline on a Monday afternoon. It's Donnie Wrightside right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment here before we hit hour number two. Muted myself there. I was talking to myself for a second there. How about that? But now it's time we're going to find out where JP is going. And also keep in mind, hour number two coming up, we're going to hit this Major League Baseball card, certainly recap the hottest topics of the day, and also take a look at some Major League Baseball, where they are headed as we get closer to the postseason, about 6 weeks away there. JP, get in here. It's Major League Baseball, 9 games on the slate tonight, nothing in the afternoon. Which way are we looking today? Side, total, prop, what gives?
I'm going to a pitching prop today.
Okay. Pitching prop today. So K prop? Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, K prop.
All right, so we got a K prop today. And also, is this game going to start, let's just see, 8:05 or later, or will it be earlier than that, which means the 7 and it 6 o'clock hour?
Earlier than that.
Okay. So we got 3 games to take a look at here. Max Fried of the Atlanta Braves versus our guy Schmitty. Man, that's like their ace now. Number two pitcher on the Yankees, Clark Schmidt. How about that? Priester and Carrasco, Valdez and Garrett. So if we're looking at those three pitchers in a K-prop, I'm going to assume it's a K-prop to the over, which Max Fried has come back. Doesn't have a lot of innings under his belt last 30 days, but has looked pretty good. He's going up against the Yankees tonight. I don't think Carrasco or Priest are going to factor into tonight, Pittsburgh and New York Mets. Framber Valdez is an interesting one here, going up against Miami and Garrett and the lefty on the mound. So if I'm looking at these three games here, where JP's going with a pitching prop, again, I'm going to take out the Pittsburgh-New York Mets game. So it's either going to be Houston-Miami or the Yankees and the Braves, which I don't think he's... So if I just had pitchers to go with, it's either, for me, going to be Valdez or Fried. So we're going to take a look at those two here after the break in hour number two. And by the way, I got the pitchers lined up. Got a couple guys that we're going to fade today. We're going to take some shots on RBIs to get 2 or more RBIs and some team totals tonight. Yeah, we're going to be popping on a Monday, no doubt about it. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening. Love this stuff. It's a Monday afternoon with Donnie Wrightside right here on the Sports Grid Network. And this is Moneyline, and hour number two is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.